The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed on today's radio show and their guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints of Easy Way Broadcasting.
Hey, welcome to the Forget About It show.
This is
Celebrity Pizza Guy with
Penny Latham, fashion wellness coach, and we're with the Forget About It show, which is about, today's show is about Celebrity Pizza Guy, where we're going, what we're doing, and what we're about.
And our special guest, Quentin Aaron.
Yes, our special guest today is Quentin Aaron. And, you know, he's an amazing actor who has lived, you know, his life as a child. And, you know, he had child abuse and bullying and all kinds of different trials and tribulations. And he's taken all that and he's brought it into a wonderful thing in his life right now. And he's an amazing actor. I'm, like, overwhelmed at how well he did with The Blind Side. We're going to be bringing him on a little bit later and in a few minutes. And we also are going to do our Forget About It weather, and we're going to do our Forget About It news and
Celebrity Pizza Guy's recipe.
Yeah. And so, anyways, what about the weather now? What would you say? Do we have the weather, or do you want me to do the
news? Do your news. Do the news, and then we'll do the weather.
Okay.
The news comes first, or the weather.
You're right. It does. So
weather's not that important.
That's why we call this the Forget About It show.
Forget About It.
Anyway, so today we're talking about an issue that's been in the news that has been really, really serious, and it's about the deaths of students. And
a student.
No, there's two of them.
I'm gonna
tell you about two. So
I already know about them.
So here is he's so funny. Anyway, so there's been two different roles. Okay, so we have a situation where a Penn State student. He was trying to do a pledge for the Beta Pi fraternity of Penn State. And there was a hazing, and they made him drink a whole bunch of alcohol.
Go to different rooms, drink alcohol.
And then he fell down the stairs.
No, and then he came to the stairs.
Well, yeah, but the stairs were
And then
there.
He did a tumble.
And then he did a tumble all the way
and
down
he
head first.
Head first after 15 steps. Going down, was knocked unconscious.
And then they saw that he was not conscious, and they just kind of left him there. And then when they finally, I think he was probably almost brain dead then because of the fact that
he was knocked out.
Yeah, something happened to his spine. But then they moved him, and then they decided to
try to revive him by
hitting him. By throwing
water
at
him
and
his head and
kicking him and, you know, just making
body
a mockery.
Body slam him and trying, instead of calling the ambulance or calling 911 to have him saved, you have
Which
18
is so scary.
Students that are basically now facing murder.
Yeah, they're facing murder. And I have, you know, I have three kids, and, you know, that's one of my biggest fears, and I think a lot of parents do too, because you send your child off to whatever, and it doesn't matter if they're in their, you know, 17 to 21 years of age, they're still your kids, and you send them off trusting the university that they're going to do the right thing, and it is scary because there's so much influence nowadays, but it doesn't just start there, Nick, it starts when you're a little kid, too, because there was a child about 2 weeks ago that was hit, was bullied, he was knocked unconscious, he passed out, and as he laid there, we're talking about an 8-year-old child. As he laid there, he was kicked. He was forgotten about until finally the staff came and they revived him, or at least they tended to him.
He was bullied.
But then the next day, he decided that he had had enough of bullying, and so he committed suicide. And there are so many people. And I.
And wait a minute. This was like a week later.
No, it was the next day.
No, it wasn't. It was a week later. And the school never notified their mother and father about the incident.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. I know my news.
You do. You're good. So the point I'm making here is I have children that have had other kids commit suicide that were very close friends. And, you know, it doesn't start when you're older. It starts sometimes when you're real young. And sometimes it doesn't end. I mean, sometimes it carries into your adulthood. And what our guest today is really passionate about is anti-bullying. And we really want
and obesity.
You know, give him an opportunity.
And a great actor.
To share what's going on. And we're going to go on to the weather now. So if we can figure out that it's too hot in Reading right now, actually it's pretty good for a few minutes.
Well, right now in Reading, it is about 75 degrees. And then we have in L.A., it's like 66, partly cloudy. We have Ocean City, New Jersey, 67.
Wow.
San Diego, 65. Vineland, New Jersey's 82. Wow. They had a hot day today.
Yeah.
I think it went up to 90 there. Stuart, Florida's only 74.
They don't have to do with themselves back there.
When's
that
up? Miami's 80. And we have Atlantic City, New Jersey at 65. So there's our weather.
Well, there's our weather. And we're going to go to commercial. And we are so excited to bring our guest on. So we're going to go to commercial now. Thank you.
Welcome to EasyWayBroadcasting.com, your one-stop shop getaway to corporate Hollywood. EasyWay specializes in red carpets and will enhance your experience. EasyWayBroadcasting.com is top-ranked on Alexa and houses the EasyWay TV Film On channel, podcast radio station, and EasyWay magazine. Learn more about the beautiful EasyWay Angels and follow their events calendar. For more information, visit EasyWayBroadcasting.com and click on About Us or call 424-209-9290. Don't forget to subscribe to the website and follow Easy Way on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for amazing updates and opportunities. Remember, that's letter E and letter Z, because, well, we do it the easy way. Easy Way Magazine is your best vehicle to advertise in if you would like to reach a quality database in corporate Hollywood. Not only will you read the stories and enjoy the content, you will also get to interact through social media and get to meet who's featured at the events, as well as get exclusive interviews from your favorite celebrities. Easy Way Magazine is a Los Angeles and Orange County-based magazine, but also reaches an international audience. Subscribe to Easy Way Magazine today by following Easy Way Broadcasting on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or EasyWayBroadcasting.com's website. To advertise, call 424-209-9290 or email contact at EasyWayBroadcasting.com. That's letter E and letter Z, because we don't do it the hard way. We do it the easy way.
Okay, we're back. We're back.
We are back with the Forget About It show. It's Larry Pete the Guy and
Fashion Wellness Coach Penny Latham.
We are going to bring on the man.
The man.
Big Mike from, what's that movie called?
That's called The Blind Side. And, you know, and I'm going to tell you something. He is such an amazing man. When I met him and Nick and I were meeting up with him with hydrophilia, I was so impressed just with his kindness and, you know, yes.
He is Big Mike.
He's so tall, but he was so gentle, such a kind man. And his
personality
is awesome. So we want, you know, he's done so many different movies. His biggest one, of course, you know, that I feel he's probably,
his role of the lifetime
for himself.
So far.
Is The Blind Side, but I know he's got so many more to come because he's such an awesome actor. And his passion for anti-bullying, his passion for getting rid of obesity in this country, I think that it's amazing what he does. And we would like to bring you on. Quentin, are you there?
Hello, how you doing?
We're doing good.
How you doing, Quentin?
I'm doing good. I can't complain.
No,
I guess not.
So how are so you're doing good today, and where are you at right now? Are you in Arizona or
Albuquerque, New Mexico?
New Mexico. You're always traveling, and I've always seen you all over the place. That I think, gosh, you must be such a busy man. So, you know.
So what are you working on right now?
We've got some stuff in development right now. I'm just chilling, just hitting the gym, getting in shape, and you know, staying in my Bible.
That's
fantastic.
Good.
That's
you're,
awesome.
You're working out and getting ready.
That's good. Well, where were you born and raised? Where now you're in Albuquerque, New Mexico, but where were you born and raised?
The Bronx, New York.
Wow, that's a real change.
That's a tough area.
That is a tough area. We're all from the East Coast, Midwest, and I'm from Chicago.
From Jersey.
He's from New Jersey, and, you know, so I understand all that. And so, you know, when you were growing up there, and were you born and raised there? Were you there for many years, or do you feel
like I was the first 12 years of my life, I lived in New York, then moved down to Georgia. I want to say when I turned 12, we moved down to Georgia. And I did middle school and high school. After graduation, I moved back to New York and started pursuing a career. And, you know, been there.
When you did that, Quentin, what brought you back to New York? Why did you go there versus Los Angeles? What was it that you were trying to pursue?
Well, because at the same time, I wanted to get out. I was ready to get out of Georgia after I graduated high school. And, you know, my goal was to go back to New York to where I can, you know, get a job first and help out my mom, who was disabled at the time, while I pursue my career. And I knew I could pursue it in New York. New York, you know, it's the city that never sleeps. You don't need transportation to get around. You got all the public transportation. I didn't know anything about L.A. You know, I didn't know anyone. I wouldn't have been able to go out there and, you know, provide for myself at the time being. I would have had to, you know, been going out there on a job. So L.A.
Right.
was the first thing from my mind, you know. It wasn't like, hey, I got to go to L.A. because I want to make it. It was a... You
well,
know,
New
I'm
York,
gonna do what I can. I'm gonna grind, learn this business, and you know, and
that's
hopefully get my way in the door one day.
So did you have brother and sisters? Were you an only child?
No, I have a younger brother. He's 4 years younger than me. Yeah, and I got a lot of girl cousins who are like sisters to me. And,
oh, wow. So. You know, I understand that, you know, Mother's Day was just recent, and I understand you lost your mom a while back. You know, is there something you want to say that, you know, really that, you know, she did for you that really impressed something upon you that, you know, has made you...
Well, with the loss of her.
Yeah, with the loss and everything and how you deal with that. I mean, that's got to be tough because I was reading into your bio and your website and, you know, just reading into all your stories. And, you know, I know she meant a lot to you. So how do you guys celebrate that at the time, you know, when you come around Mother's Day?
You know, normally me and my brother used to go out and have like a dinner. We'll go out to a restaurant and have dinner in honor of our mom. But unfortunately, you didn't get to do that this year. My brother lives in PA now, and I'm in New Mexico. I did speak to him and everything, you know, because her birthday was actually before Mother's Day this year. Her birthday was May 10th, so
right.
It's been pretty, you know, kind of hard. And it is, especially being away from family at a time like that, you know, but at the same time, sometimes it's a good thing because when you're around family gets all emotional and then you're emotional and then you're like, oh, stop, I don't want to do that.
That's
yeah,
right.
I know. It does get crazy.
I know how you feel, Quentin, because my mom died in 2004.
Yeah, he lost his dad early too, and then he lost his
mom. I lost my
mom.
Dad in 81. I lost
when
my mom
16.
In 2004, and yeah.
It's tough.
There's no one like them, you know, no one like your parents.
Nope.
For me, my mom was my only parent. Like, I didn't know my father. I never met him. Don't know much about him. So, you know, my mom was my everything.
So she was your whole support, and she supported you through your schooling. And so I know that
where did you go to school in New York?
Yeah, where did you go to school?
I went to CES 64 Elementary School when I was up there. I did middle school and high school in Georgia, so I only went to elementary school in New York. But she was my support system through all of that. My mom, whenever it was something I wanted to do, she was gonna make sure that I saw it through, and she helped any way that she could. She was actually the one that got me the Blind Side audition.
Really?
You know?
That's awesome. So she was the one that pushed you. And obviously, we moms, we see everything. So she obviously knew how talented you were. Now, were you in sports or something when that happened?
Did you play football?
Did you play football? And
I played 1 year in high school, but it wasn't really much. Like, I pretty much rode the bench in high school because it wasn't something that I wanted to do. It was just because of my size and everybody, like, play, and the coaches kept coming after me. So I joined the team, and when they found out that I sucked at the sport.
So wait a minute. Like, so you were like Big Mike in the Blind Side.
Yeah, you were the same way. Yeah. That's awesome.
Just to clear it up, the movie version, because Michael Orr never needed to be taught how to play football. That was a Hollywood additive, and that was one of the biggest problems he had with the film. But it's Hollywood. They changed the story. He never needed. But when he met the Tuohys, he was already playing basketball for the school. He was on the basketball team, and he had befriended the daughter first. So like in the movie, he befriends the son. In the movie, he befriends the son, and in real life, he was friends with the daughter, Collins, first, because she was the cheerleader, and he was on the basketball team, and they would ride together on the bus to games, you know. So the relationship you've seen between him and the son in the movie was pretty much how it was with him and the daughter at first.
Wow. So they changed it.
Yeah, exactly. And then when football came around, he was automatically a stud. He already knew how to play sports. His protective instincts was very high. He knew, you know, he come from the hood. I don't know a black kid from the hood that don't know how to play some sport. You know?
That's correct.
You know, but
from Big Mike on the Blind Side.
And you,
how much worries.
So now you did a few movies before that, but then after doing that role, that must have really changed your insights as to acting and what you were looking at. So how did that change you?
Oh,
wait a second. Let me answer this
one. Okay, go ahead.
So how did that change you?
I don't think it changed me. I think it was a blessing that it opened the amount of doors that it did and gave me the platform to be able to still be relevant in this industry and be able to pursue my dreams, you know, and it doesn't change you. It advances your career path. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes with that being said, a lot of times, and what people don't know is that when you gain a certain level of success, it's the people around you that change before you change. And that can sometimes lead to you having to change.
I agree with that. That's very true.
You know, I'm the same guy I was before I got the Blind Side. I'm the same. My personality has not changed. I'm a nice guy. I'm always going to be a nice guy until you give me a reason not to be.
You want to push me into
I can't
stand?
Imagine that with you.
I got a question.
Go ahead, ask your question.
What was your experience when you were in grade school?
Oh, in school, I was the opposite of what I am now.
Were you bullied?
I was bullied.
When were you bullied? Were you ever bullied?
Yeah, I was bullied. I was I was beat up. I was called names. I was chased home. I was jumped. I was thrown down the stairs several times. I went through a lot of that in high school. In grade school. Mainly in elementary school. Somewhat, a little bit in middle school, it was more of the name calling. Because around that time, I hit a growth spurt. When I got to high school, I was bigger than everybody in the school. So, there was no more physical bullying. going on. And by that time, I knew how to, you know, between the ages of 10 to 14, I had took self-defense classes and learned how to defend myself. So my confidence level got up a little because I wasn't afraid of kids anymore. I wasn't afraid to be beat up, or I wasn't afraid that I was going to have to run home, you know, because kids wanted to jump me. At that point, I was bigger and stronger than almost everyone who ever wanted to mess with me. So it was just, you know, but I didn't let it change who I wanted to be, you know, because people said easily, like, because of what I went through when I was younger, when I grew bigger and learned how to defend myself, I could have became the bully. I could have started beating up and smacking kids around just because I could. But that wasn't me. It wasn't who I am, and it didn't serve the purpose of what I had envisioned for myself and my life. So, you know, that's why I just stayed doing what I wanted to do, and you know, the rest of the school didn't matter. You know, some of my mom told me, she was like, you know, you don't go to school for the kids. You don't go to school to please anybody. You go to school to get an education and be what you want to be when you grow up.
Correct.
That's awesome.
Keep your mind in the game at school and do what you got to do in school. So exactly. I got a question. When you were in grade school, when you were in eighth grade, how tall were you?
In eighth grade, I was about 6'1", 6'2", somewhere around there.
Wow. I was 5'8". And when I was in eighth grade, I was thinking it was a 5'8", 5'7". And then when I graduated high school, I was 6'1 and a half, 6'2". But you're what, 6'8 right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have a picture of you, and I'm going to tell you, I felt like I was the midget between the two of you. I was like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe how tall you were. And Nick's tall, too.
Because we did have a question, were you always super tall, but, you know.
Because we wanted to know, you know, with you
saying that room for a shout out, I was always the tallest kid in my class. But for as far back as I can remember, I think when I was 12, I was 6 feet tall.
Wow, that's really tall.
And then by the time I was 14, I was 6'4".
Did you play basketball at all?
I wanted to, but I didn't graduate on time. And at the time, I was supposed to graduate in 2002, but I graduated in 2003, a year later. They kept me back. It was some nonsense. Like, so basically, in New York, you know, you go to junior high, and you graduated elementary school with the sixth grade. And so when you go to junior high, it's 7th, 8th, and 9th. That's
right,
how it was at the time I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we moved down to Georgia after I graduated elementary school, they wanted to put me in the sixth grade. And I said, no, I just graduated the sixth grade. And, you know, their mother told me. But they was like, how do you graduate the sixth grade? The sixth grade
I never
was
heard of
middle school. Yeah, because it was like middle school in Georgia is 6th through 8th grade. And
wow.
So they wanted to put me back. My mother fought them, wouldn't let them, showed them the diploma and everything. And so whatever, they put me in the 7th grade. So I did the 7th, 8th, and then I did the 9th. And how they thought they were slick is that when my second year of high school, they put me in the 9th grade homeroom, but I had all 10th grade classes. And so because of that, they made it like, well, we can't seem like we're skipping them ahead or whatever, but it messed up my chances of playing sports past that year. And I found that out when I was trying out for the basketball team. The coach told me because I'm not set to graduate on time that I can't play sports.
So how did you keep yourself occupied if you weren't doing sports? What did you do? I mean, you obviously took care of your mom, but, you know, what did you do to keep yourself busy and out of trouble?
I was in drama and chorus, actually.
Okay.
Okay.
You sing. That's right.
Yeah, it was all right for me not being able to play sports.
What do you mean?
It was all right for me not playing, not being able to play sports because it wasn't my main focus. It was just something that everybody wanted me to do.
Right. So, well, that's because most people that are tall, they want you to play sports.
So, Quentin, so basically you always wanted to be an actor?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you were in school and you were, you know, doing the acting thing and you were taking the drama classes and whatnot, and dealing with all this, you know, there's always that competition in class. There's always, and like you said, there was bullying going on. How old were you when you actually realized that it was not okay to bully? I mean, when did you realize that it was wrong for everybody to do that?
I realized it was wrong because I was going through it and I didn't, you know, think it was right. So, I mean, I started getting beat up in the first grade and, in the second grade, sorry.
Wow, we need to make a movie about you.
Forget about Big Mike. I mean, you did a good one there, but no, that's awesome. So I was bullied. Yeah, my son was too.
Third grade. No one ever knew.
Yeah, and that's another thing. You know, you hide it. Did you hide it from your mom, or did she see it? Did she see it going on?
She found out, she got pissed and started coming up to the school. And that's what kind of helped it stop, because my mom was crazy and you know,
I love it. That's good.
And Tuesday, you know, they you know, my mom was like Madea on steroids. everybody gets straight.
That's perfect.
Everybody parent walk in when she came in. And it was cool because, like, they didn't know when she would pop in. Because we live, like, walking distance from the school. I used to walk to school. And so my mom would, like, make random visits to pop in, and all the kids was like, "Hey, Miss Allie, how you doing?"
That's funny.
It was funny.
Well, that's awesome.
So,
my youngest daughter, she was bullied, and I'll tell you something. I watched a turn of change come with her at a school dance one time, and I remember her reaching out to these younger kids and stopping them from bullying these other younger kids. And it was a seventh grader reaching out to a sixth grader, you know, trying to put him in the corner. And my daughter walked up, and knowing that she too, like you, had been bullied, she put a stop to it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever found yourself when you were, you know, a young adult or even in your school age, stopping
watching
that, you know, before
bullying.
You ever got into your passion about anti-bullying, did you ever stop that? Did you ever help someone like that?
No, not in school, because it was kind of like when I was in high school, kids just left me alone because I was too big. They didn't want those problems and everything and stuff. So I just kind of kept to myself. I had a couple friends, I had a handful of friends, but none of my friends got bullied. So I didn't really, you know, it wasn't really like where I went to high school at, it wasn't really that bad to where you see kids picking on kids for no reason and beating them up and stuff like that. So it wasn't really that big of an issue in my high school.
So when you have this, okay, you have this passion for this anti-bullying, and then there's the part about obesity, you know, I mean, you know, you have that passion as well. Now, when you get in, of course, you've got your movie roles and all that, and, you know, which gives you a little bit more access to be able to reach out to people and whatnot. And you're able to, you created your Quentin Aaron Foundation. Tell us a little bit about that your foundation. How was that all put together, and why did you do that?
Well, I started the foundation actually 5 years ago in August. I started it mainly because I was speaking. I found myself speaking a lot at schools after doing the blind shot. And a lot of times kids would approach me about, you know, them being bullied and asking if I ever dealt with it and how did I get over it. And so I found myself giving advice on that more so than often because I did deal with it. I dealt with, and a lot of times my weight played the reason as why kids picked on me. And that was a big insecurity for me growing up. And, you know, so I know what these kids were going through. And then when I met David Tyler, who's my executive director, he asked me if I ever thought of starting my foundation. And I told him, no, I actually never did think about it. And he said, well, if you ever do want to, I can help you get everything set up. At the time, he was running Danny Glover's foundation. And so I was like, yeah, cool. I took his card. We met up a couple times, spoke, and then the rest was history. We started the foundation, and we are waiting right now to get our 501c3. In the past, we were working as a DBA under another organization that
dealt with kids as well. Uh-huh.
But now we've filed for our own 501c3, and we're waiting for that to go through. And once we have that, we can really kick it in the next gear and start doing bigger and better things for the foundation, as opposed to just going to the schools and seeking the kids and setting up bowling events and stuff. We want to do a lot more than that. We want to be able to open up facilities that kids can come to throughout the summertime. And almost like a day camp that they can come to throughout the summertime and do a lot of different curricular activities that can keep them, you know, focused and, you know, going after their goals, building up their self-confidence, their self-esteem, and, you know, just basically helping them find out what they want to do and what they want to be and showing them that there's no shame in being who they are. And everything, and so
that's a lot of
what we want to do.
So, you're working together. You've got a whole group of people that come with you, or is that what it is? I think that, you know, the fact that you have gone out and done what you love to do, which of course was not sports, it was being
in drama
and, you know, acting and whatnot, and you're showing that you can do it. And not to mention all the people that knew you from when you were a kid, watching you be victorious, which is really the best way to show people that you don't care anymore, you know, that you can be successful, and then they just look in awe of you. And I think that these kids nowadays, they're so impressionable. And what would you say now with your...
What would you say to someone that wants to get into film industry?
Right.
Or in the business.
Right. That wanted
that
to follow in your footsteps.
The talent that they have, but has been bullied.
Right.
And doesn't know how to push themselves forward.
Right.
Well, I would say with just first and foremost to any kid that has a dream of being something, regardless if it's in the entertainment industry or if it's just, you know, it could be a fireman, it could be a scientist, it could be a doctor. Because the truth is, you have to find yourself first, because if you don't know who you are, then you don't really know what you want to be. You want to be what you see other people doing. And
right.
You don't know the hard work that comes with that. You know, and I knew from young I wanted to be an actor. You know, I learned how to read from watching TV and reading the subtitles on television shows that I love to watch.
I used to drive my mom crazy,
you know, around the house when I was younger, acting like Batman and James Bond and Ninja Turtles. So, like,
Mario. Hey, they were spinning a pizza too. Forget about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Pizza was my favorite food growing up. You know, it was funny.
How did you enjoy serving Pizza Guy's pizza?
Say again.
The pizza that you ate at Hyperstophilia when Celebrity Pizza Guy made the pizza. What'd you think of the pizza?
Oh, forget about it.
That was
some good pizza, man. That was definitely some good pizza.
Are you ready for some more?
Yeah, but you gotta have to freeze it and send it to me.
Yeah, well,
we could do that.
Yeah,
we could also
deliver.
When you coming to California?
Yeah, when you coming to California?
When work comes up, I'll be back out there for work. But I don't live out there no more.
New Mexico, pretty much.
Yeah, New Mexico's home right now.
Okay, so that's where you're living now.
That's
Florida.
Right, right. I saw that you were in Tampa also. Now,
right,
you
know, I lived out there last year.
What was your favorite movie that you were in and why? I guess it's a blind spot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would have to say The Blind Side right now because of everything that, you know, was put into, you know, being involved in that whole process of making that movie and hanging around Sandra Bullock and Tim McGraw. Oh my goodness. All the people I got to meet and everything. And then what that movie has done for me is, like, so far I have not done a movie or been a part of a movie that has
that many people
that has been more, you know, I don't even know how to say it. No disrespect to none of the other movies I've been in, because I've been in a lot of movies and a lot of great cast, a lot of great sets, and a lot of great projects. And I got a lot more still to come. But so far, I would have to say Blind Side is my favorite.
So how did it feel to be with Sandra Bullock and Tim McGraw and Kathy Bates?
Oh, sure. Those are amazing actors.
I couldn't believe myself, man. It was like,
were you
one
stuttering?
Night, one of my favorite nights on set was it was lunchtime, and this was when we were shooting the bookstore scene. Well, at lunchtime, we were sitting outside Tim McGraw's bus, and it was me, the director, Tim, his wife, and Sandra all sitting there in these lawn chairs, just chatting, having a chat. And I felt like I floated up outside of my body, like astral projected out of my body, and looked down at myself in that circle with them, and just was like, damn, I can't believe I'm here.
And look at me now. Oh my God, that's
look
awesome.
Look at me now. Forget about it.
Exactly.
Go ahead. We do that. We go back and forth. We banter back and forth. No,
all
seriously.
Right.
So when you were acting with them, do you feel like it gave you, like, obviously they're seasoned actors, and yes, I mean, part of the time you're in awe, but do you feel like you were able to take something from that and put it into your next movies, where you actually felt that really allowed you to achieve a better role, or how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think I definitely. Throughout the years, I've been able to take something from every project that I've been a part of and you know, grow from it and just, like, you know, keep moving forward, but expanding in what I do. And
no,
I definitely...
Yeah.
Don't fall asleep.
We were talking last night. So do you feel like all the actors obviously have a platform. They all like to give up.
I got one big question.
But
I was working with Sandra Bullock.
He's got to ask you this. He's got to do it.
I mean, was she professional? Was she nice? Or was she?
You know, if y'all had asked me what is the most asked question you ever get, that would be it.
How was it working
with Sandra Bullock? That's everyone's question. It was amazing. It was My question is, how come that's the most asked question, the frequently asked question? Like, what do people think I'm gonna say? Oh, she was terrible to work with. I couldn't stand her.
I think what they want to know is, how was she with you?
Was she cordial?
Was she
nice?
Was she trying to teach you?
Well, sure, you're not going to say anything negative because.
That's what I know. That's what I'm saying. I know. I mean, she wasn't definitely, but I'm like, what I'm like, what do people expect with that question? Like, if she, you think I'm gonna sit here and say, oh, Sandra Bullock was terrible, even if she was.
How about this? What did you learn from her? That would be a really good question. What's the most important thing you learned from Bullock?
Oh man. So she definitely gave me good advice on set. She gave me some good advice on set to take with me. And one of the main things I like about working with her is to see how professional she is at what she does, but also at the same time how humble she was.
Great.
Someone being in her position, she's humble. She talks to everyone. She learns your name. And she, and you know, she just, like, anyone could approach her. Anyone could talk to her. And I don't know if you've been on a book set.
Yeah. I mean, everybody starts
out.
Well,
I think she's a homegirl, so.
Yeah,
that's
if you
like, been on most, if some big production sets or whatever, sometimes the ADs will keep background actors away from the talent, like the quote-unquote talent. You know, don't talk with the talent,
yeah.
Don't this, don't that, don't that. Anyone could talk to her, and she, you know, she's very approachable, she's very humble, and she's funny, and so just being able to watch her and be like and see her like that, it was like it let me know, it reassured me that you don't have to be, you know, closed off or unapproachable or distant from everyone
just because of who you are. That's what I was.
Yeah,
that's
what
I'm doing. Yeah, I think that's awesome. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so she was Miss Congeniality. So
yes.
That's good. That's awesome.
Yeah, actually, hey, Quentin, I was going to call you Mike.
Yeah, we were calling you Mike.
Quentin. Quentin, we were actually tried to get in touch with her tonight to call in.
Yeah, we were going to try to surprise you. But, you know, and it was so
But we
funny.
Don't have her number.
We don't have her
we
number.
We messaged her. So we tried at least. Forget
yeah, we did. We messaged her.
We were going to call you up for a number, but, you know, we have you call her because I know you got her number.
How did you message her? She's not on social media.
Well, there's a couple places.
Unless they're fake.
Yeah, right. See, that's another thing. You know, there's so much fake out there nowadays.
I told you, Penny.
We should have called him and told him to have her call in.
We could have had a reunion.
Oh, it would have been awesome. Yo, the phone would have been blown up. Actually, where are those people out there?
I know. Where are those people in Blog
You're
Talk?
You're supposed to be calling in and asking questions with Quentin Aaron from The Blind Side.
So tell me, Quentin, what exactly are you going to be doing?
All right, hold on. If you had one message to get out there, Quentin, what would it be?
She starts the question, you wait until she finishes it, and then you cut her off with your question.
Right. I finish it. We're freaking fresh.
Almost finished with the question, and then you cut off and ask a totally different question. That's the third time you did that.
So good.
All right.
Okay.
Randy, hold on. If you had one message to get out there, what would it be? What would it be on anti-bullying?
Yeah. Would it, yeah.
That's the question.
One message to get out there about anti-bullying. All right. One of the things I like to say when I talk to kids is life is about choices. And the choices that you make dictate the path that you go on in your life. Now, in school, all of that is temporary. It's not permanent. It comes and it goes. The purpose of school is not to make friends. The purpose of school is not to live the rest of your life with the faces you see around you every single day. The purpose of school is to grow and become who you're going to be when you get older. So you have to look at yourself and really evaluate the things that you're doing in your life and decide if bullying is something that's important to you. Is it important to make other people feel miserable? Is that a skill set you think you're going to make money with when you get older? Because if it's not, stop it. Cut it out. Forget about it. I tell kids all the time, bullying does nothing for you personally. It does not it does not give you a 401k, a pension plan when you get older to retire. It doesn't put money in your bank account. It doesn't do anything. Correct. But there can be repercussions, and kids don't think of that. Kids and parents don't think of the repercussions that can come from bullying. If you sit and think about, a kid is tormented all the time to the point where he kills himself or she kills herself.
Correct.
I can't even believe that.
Now you have to think about, you know, you were responsible for that kid being pushed to that point. But now you're killing her. You know?
Correct.
It's like after the kids have done what they've done, then all of a sudden everyone that was messing with them is sorry. It's like it's too late to be sorry. They can't hear you say you're sorry now because they're dead. You know, so you really think about what you're doing when you're bullying someone and think about, is it necessary? If it's not beneficial to you, stop it. And that's like the most upfront, harsh, like cold to the point, non-sugar-coated advice I can give.
So if you were talking to someone who is being bullied, how do you pull them out of it where they don't want to believe those labels and
how do you pull them out of it?
See, he's
going to
finish my question.
What the bullying
see, you
is
did
about.
It again. We're the Doublemint twins.
Come on, stop.
So, but I mean, if you see someone that's being bullied, what do you do? How do you get them to understand? How do you get them to take that next step so that they can pull themselves up and start doing it?
Yeah, that's the question.
The main thing I do is I talk to them about what I've been through and how I got out of it. Because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychiatrist, and I don't want anyone to ever think that I'm going to give someone advice that I didn't personally do myself or you know, I'm not giving you professional advice. I'm only giving you based off of what I've been through, my own life experiences. You know, and for kids that are dealing with bullying, I tell them all the time, it's like, listen, words can only hurt you if you let them hurt you. If you get to that point where mentally you decide, I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what people say about me. I'm just focused on what I want to do with my life when I get out of here. So I'm going to do my schoolwork, and that's it. You know, you don't want to be my friend? I don't care. If you don't like the clothes I'm wearing, I don't care. If you don't like how I smile, I do not care. And once you adapt that mindset, kids will start to leave you alone because they'll see that nothing they say can get to you. They only pick on you because you give them the reaction, the response that they look for, that they want. It's like an animal. An animal that attacks someone that they can smell the fear on them. That's going to make them attack. It's the same thing with kids. If they smell the fear on you, they're going to keep messing with you. They're going to keep attacking you. But if you stand up for yourself, stay confident, stand firm, and say, listen, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you say about me. I'm not here for you. You mean nothing to me. It's just once you begin to believe that process and adapt that process and start applying it to your everyday life,
That's great advice for you.
Great advice. But I want to tell you something. When I was a kid, when I was bullied, you know what I used to do?
Yeah.
I used to bring it to my garage and say, put the gloves on. You want to bully me now? Let's go. And I'd knock them out.
And actually, kids did that. They came
to
his house.
Guess what? They didn't mess with me ever again.
And they respected him. He found his own way on how to stop them. But, you know, I think when you're younger, that's what I'm trying to say. Because at our age, you know, we're a lot older and, you know, we finally just are self-accepting. And, you know, we could care less what other people think.
We're talking about principles. 70.
But when we were kids, yes, we all had some form of pecking order. And that pecking order, sometimes the person can go way down low and they're just,
oh, yeah, exactly.
They just never make it up to the top, you know? And I think that's important. Now, the obesity thing. Now, you're saying that that really does have a lot to do with some of it, too. How are you implementing that into it?
Well, for me, with the obesity side of things, now I'm open to a whole different lifestyle than what I grew up with. You know, growing up, I didn't know nothing about eating good. And you know, eating good to us, eating our vegetables was collard greens, turnips, cabbage. That was our vegetables. It wasn't salads. It wasn't organic this, non-GMO that. We didn't grow up being exposed to that kind of eating, you know, so.
Right. No, that's true.
Weight was an issue because we, you know, growing up in the Bronx, you got bodegas and pizzerias and Chinese restaurants and chicken places all around you. So, like, yeah, they eat a pizza one day or some candy from the store or chips and sodas or, you know, beef patty with cocoa bread. You go to the Spanish restaurant and get some food. It was so much unhealthy.
But it was also fast food. You know, I think fast food or food that's being prepared by someone else. And see, that's what I was going to tell you. So Nick is coming up with some different recipes. We want to create your pizza. He wants to create it with you. But we're going to be coming up with a healthy plan. And the healthy plan is going to be where we teach people also with different programs to eat healthy, especially in the schools.
Would you like to be involved with us teaching kids to eat healthy in school?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guess what? We're working on getting healthy pizzas in schools around the United States of America.
Yeah.
And with you, we could lead the way. And actually, that's our platform right there.
Yeah, we definitely.
We have other people and who want to be involved. But you need the more you have involved, the more it's going to get.
We have some key component people that are going to help us to achieve it. And, you know, we keep collecting them. And so the thing is, not just people that are, you know, involved in the schools, but also people that are really intense. Like, I'm a wellness coach, so I reach out to nutritionists. We want people to, you know, put input in. And then also, like with you, you know, you have your celebrity theatrical background that has popularity and people. It's funny how people listen to you when you make a difference in your own life. And so you've done that. And so that people listen to you with what you're trying to get out there too, because they do see that you've had some changes in your life. And so I think that when you bring that in front of someone and then you're talking about the obesity and how it's going to keep them from being bullied and keep them feeling better about themselves, I really do think that your whole platform would be an awesome thing to attach to something we're doing. So why don't you create a pizza with Quentin Aaron?
Let's go, Big Mike. let's hear your create a pizza with Celebrity Pizza Guy. What would it be?
Let's see. I
know what you wanted before. That was fattening. So let's go healthy.
Let's reverse the process.
Yeah. Reverse most.
Well, you gotta understand too, you're talking pizza from the get go, and unless you're gonna, the only way to make pizza healthy is to remove the bread. So
hold on. We got it gluten-free now.
Yeah, we're going to be doing that.
Are you ready? You ready to hear this?
Yeah, we're going to be doing
that. All right. Here we go. Tell them that.
Okay, so our nutritional tip this week is going to be we're going to create something with coconut flour.
Coconut flour.
Which there's other flours, too, that are gluten-free.
It's just gluten-free.
But
with coconut oil and coconut sugar.
And coconut sugar.
And we're going to make a dough. We're going to do this tomorrow night.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, we're going to film it, and we're going to be live on Facebook. And this here is going to be the most healthiest dough you can eat. Well, I've been working on this for a long time.
Yeah.
And the next step is just putting vegetables or spinach
to me.
Or even how you cook your meat. But
no meat.
Okay,
no meat.
So no meat. So that would be a vegetarian. Then.
That's right. We're going to go a veggie pie, but no gluten free.
But
okay?
Go ahead, that's tomorrow
Eric.
Night. So
I
tell
mean,
us.
Eric. Oh my God, Eric. Oh shit, Eric.
He called you Eric. Anyways, okay, he called you Eric. He called you Eric. Anyways, the point is we have this dough, and his regular dough is only 120. Calories. That's just with cheese and sauce. Okay.
That's right.
So the 120 calories. So if we eliminate the intense carbohydrate problem and we take away the gluten, so you don't have that letdown, and you feel healthier, so you feel more energetic.
With
that. There you go. So now let's create the pizza. That
go ahead. Now your platform is on. Go ahead, Quinn. We have 5 minutes.
Definitely want the veggies like onions, bell peppers, mushrooms. What else? Let's see. I'm not a pepperoni guy.
No meat.
Oh,
no, veggies. Yeah, Let's do something that is weight, you know, where people can actually lose the weight. They're not going to be intense with the meat, so the fats will be low. Yes, create the Quentin Aaron pizza.
Vegetable pizza pie.
That's right.
Gluten free.
definitely add some spinach. We'll see. So the ingredients that I just said. So you got onions, bell peppers,
mushrooms,
spinach.
There you go.
Yeah.
How about broccoli?
Do you like broccoli?
Not really.
How about asparagus?
Asparagus is cool, but would you put asparagus on a pizza?
I've done that already. They
yes.
love it.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, and at that high temperature.
I'll try it, first of all, and then put it on the pizza pot.
It's pre-cooked. I'll put
a cucumber.
Hey, cucumber. How about zucchini?
Yeah, zucchini. Zucchini is cool.
Oh, hey, we're getting rolling. We're rolling here.
So now we're doing a good pie.
We're rolling. How about a little squash?
What about the sauce? Which sauce?
Forget about the sauce. We're going to go white sauce, garlic. It's called a pesto.
Well, does he like
no
but fatty. does Quentin
do you like
that?
Pesto?
Pesto's all right.
Okay, there you go.
Well, you got to taste both of his sauces. I mean,
well,
he's got more than two.
My sauce doesn't have that much calories.
No, his sauce is amazing. And I'll tell you one thing. At Mario Lopez, the models were just ripping it off the tray.
I've never seen her in Oregon.
And the other, you're funny. And the other sauce, his red sauce, you know, either one. I mean, they just go crazy for it. So either way, you're going to have it super healthy.
So do one pie with red sauce and one pie with white sauce.
There you go.
There you go. Or half and half.
Or half and half.
Yeah, half and
I could
half.
Do a half and half.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah,
but you know what we want to see you do? We want to see you spin the pie. We want to see you. We've been trying to get more people to learn how to spin the pie with celebrity pizza.
Yeah, we had Ronnie Allen Rippey. He spun it.
Yeah, he spun it. He tried to get it up in the air, and it's not as easy as it looks. But
quick.
Yeah, dough would probably fly all over the place if I try to spin it.
That would be so funny. All right, well, listen, we are so appreciative of you coming on.
You told us you only wanted to talk for 20 minutes. Well, guess what? You just beat an hour.
You did good. You did real good.
My man. Austin Pan. Forget about it. I got to get on to my pizza guy recipe, and then we're off the show. But I only have 2 minutes left. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you being on the show. Kenny and I, Celebrity Pizza Guy, and the Miss Beautiful.
Yeah, Fashion Wellness Coach. Yeah.
There you go.
And we will connect with you, and we'll definitely get you
get going.
Spinning the pot.
Let's get it rolling.
Awesome. Thank you.
My man. Hey, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for being on the show. You're
have
awesome.
Have a great night. Great week. All right. We'll be talking to you. God bless.
God bless you.
All right. Later.
Thank you. Come on, man.
So, your recipe.
My recipe's coming up in a heartbeat.
So what is it?
It's called the Celebrity Guy.
Celebrity Pizza Guy.
The Celebrity Pizza Guy.
Is it a pizza guy or a guy?
No, it's the Celebrity Pizza Guy pizza.
Thank you to all our friends, family, and listeners from Celebrity Pizza Guy, Nicholas Rubin, and
Fashion Wellness Coach Penny Latham.
And remember, forget about it!